Good morning. Today's Living with Shiva lesson, which is lesson 272. The evolution of humanness. Ahimsa, non-hurtfulness, is the essence of Dharma, and the Muladhara Chakra sets the pattern of Dharma. The Muladhara Chakra is a very interesting chakra because it is the base center of energy and consciousness. And consciousness is energy, ever creating, preserving, and absorbing. Karma is the self-perpetuating principle of cause and effect, shaping our experiences as a result of how we use our energies, mentally, verbally, or physically. So once we narrow down the individual awareness from freedom without responsibility, which is the lower nature, into the consciousness of freedom with responsibility, which is the higher nature, the individual awareness or consciousness must pass through the portals of the Muladhara Chakra and rest comfortably within the energy of its four petals. Four petals, of course, form a square. Three-dimensionally, two squares put together with a space between can well be defined as a box. This box is defined as Dharma. Gurudeva's teachings are interesting in that they talk about the Muladhara Chakra and the challenge of not falling below it. Well, who else talks about that, right? Everyone else talks about the higher chakras. Well, the higher chakras, that's, you know, really exciting. But this is like the basics of chakras. Well, no, let's first stabilize ourselves here, you know, not fall down into the one below, which of course is fear, and then the one below that is anger. We want to stay above them and want to, that beautiful phrase, you know, achieve freedom with responsibility and not kind of the teenage approach of freedom without responsibility here. And as Gurudeva is pointing out in the first sentence, this ahimsa, non-hurtfulness, is the essence of Dharma. And the Muladhara Chakra sets the pattern of Dharma. So therefore, the practice of ahimsa in thought, word, and deed is an important part of stabilizing in the Muladhara Chakra. Briefly, at this point on the path to enlightenment, we put our cumulative karmas into a box called Dharma. Once encased within Dharma, the various karmas may fight each other. As the individual progresses on the path, the box lightens and rises. The box of Dharma is the base from which the aspirant must live at this point. Strictly contained, he may rise through the hole in the top of the box in consciousness, or open a hole in the bottom of the box and seek freedom without responsibility in the world of darkness. To seek freedom in the chakras above is the sanmarga. To seal off the hole at the bottom of the box is his sadhana. Penitent tapas, japa, bhakti, and Shiva thondu, all of which is eloquently explained in Merging with Shiva. Who holds the lid on the box? Community. Community pressures, both religious and secular. There are certain things you can do and certain things you can't do. The stronger ahimsa becomes at the family level, the more subtle it gets, and the violence gets more subtle. A careless word can cut the heart of someone you love, but someone not loved may not be wounded by anything less sharp than a knife. So that's an interesting point. And what is it? The heart of a guest. The Tirukkural has one. even as the anicca flower can wither by the mere smell, by someone smelling it, so too can the heart of a guest wither just with a look. You can harm a guest just by the way you look at them. You make them feel unwelcome. You're harming them. So, you know, you can see how subtle harm can be. That's the point. Is the closer someone is to you, the more careful you have to be, because the harm comes in. Just even a tone of voice can be harmful to someone that's close to you. So we need to be careful that, you know, we don't harm someone in a subtle way, is what Gurdjieff was pointing out. Someone asks, I am trying to seal off the chakras below the Muladhara, but whenever a trying situation comes up, the feelings of resentment and retaliation are paramount. What can I do? When the feelings that come up amplify resentment, squelch reason, and paralyze memory, that's beautiful, huh? When the feelings that come up amplify resentment, squelch reason, and paralyze memory, we must assume that the box of Dharma is empty and does not contain the cumulative sukarmas and kukarmas of this and past lives, and that he is not bound by Dharma at all, or that it has no influence in guiding his future karmas. There are no excuses on this path. This means that the person has really not yet come to Lord Ganesha's feet. Therefore, vrata, he must take a vow and live up to it. So Gurudeva's point is, if we're still, when faced with challenging situations, if we still tend to default to resentment and retaliation, then we're not really in the box of Dharma. If we're in the box of Dharma, we don't go that direction. We're stabilized above that. Doesn't mean we won't get a bit upset and unhappy with the person, but we're not going to get stuck in retaliation and resentment, which, you know, can go on for days, months, and years, that kind of feeling. You know, we just wouldn't go there if we're in the box of Dharma. Ahimsa is a vrata. Rishi Patanjali called it the Mahavrata, or great oath. When it is not lived up to, there are consequences. Remorse must be felt, apologies made, penance endured, and reconciliation accomplished. The ego experiences embarrassment. All this and more occurs depending on the individual's sincerity, steadfastness, and resolve never to re-enter the lower nature of himsa, hurtfulness, again. Those who have found it necessary to take the Mahavrata of ahimsa and are prepared to make amends if they do not live up to it are well on their way to entering the Muladhara and Svadhisthana consciousness. So that's the key there, and are prepared to make amends if they don't live up to it. So that's what Gurudeva is pointing out, as we have in this previous paragraph. If we're not living in the box of Dharma, then, and someone hurts us, then we get stuck in resentment and retaliation. But if we are living in the box of Dharma, then we figure out a way to resolve it. Perhaps we actually catalyzed it, and we're blaming the other person. And so we want to make amends, do what's necessary. Remorse must be felt, apologies made, penance endured, and reconciliation accomplished. So I'll read this part again since I jumped backwards. Those who have found it necessary to take the Mahavrata of ahimsa and are prepared to make amends if they do not live up to it are well on their way to entering the Muladhara and Svadhisthana consciousness. Being penitent is rising to reason and remembering the Dharma. Being belligerent is lowering to selfishness, and through confusion and anger, attaining his wants. To proceed further, he has to listen to the wise, listen to the Swamis, read scripture, perform bhakti, and do sivathondu, selfless service. Those who remain prone to anger should not do Raja Yoga or any form of intensive mantra, japa, or pranayama amplification of the energies into higher chakras, lest that collective energy plummet into the corresponding lower chakras and be vented through fear, anger, and jealousy. Going down there. Fear, anger, and jealousy. Down one at a time. So that was, you know, Gurudeva wrote years ago in the, I guess it was in the 70s, he writing that one on consciousness. What's it called? Chemical consciousness, remember? Chemical chaos. Yes, chemical chaos. It's very much against the general population using LSD for this reason, that it intensifies the higher chakras. But if you're not a super disciplined person and a super control of your mind, that energy is going to go down and stimulate the lower chakras of fear, anger, and jealousy. So you're going to have a terrible time, unless you're a very unusual person. So most people, they would go down. So he said, you know, you can't do this. This is going to cause chaos. It's not a good idea. Patanjali. I found a simple verse from Patanjali. We don't have to look at different kinds of samadhis this morning. For the repelling of unwholesome thoughts, their opposites should be cultivated. Next verse. Unwholesome thoughts, such as harming someone and so forth, whether done, caused to be done, or approved, whether arising from greed, anger, or infatuation, whether mild, moderate, or extreme, never cease to ripen into ignorance and suffering. This is why one must cultivate their opposites. So that makes you think, well, what's the opposite of harming? Ahimsa. I mean, himsa, harming. You know, the opposite really isn't ahimsa, not harming. That's like a neutral position. You know, here you are, you're over here, you're harming someone. You back up, you're not harming, but that's not the opposite of harming. What would be the opposite of harming? Helping, right? So instead of harming someone, the opposite vibration is helping them. So if you have an inclination, the inclination to harm is overcome by the inclination to help, or the action of harming is overcome by the action of helping. It's the opposite. See how it works? So it's something to think about. The 14 chakras, this is back to Gurudeva, have been described as a pole one must climb. The pole is heavily greased with ghee. It's a slippery pole. Therefore, the helping hand of our loving Ganesha, who reaches down from the Muladhara, is needed to lift up the aspirant. It's the helping hand of Lord Murugan that reaches down from the Anahata chakra, grabbing and lifting the devotee up. It is the helping hand of Shiva that reaches down from the Ajna chakra and lifts one up. One cannot do it alone. Total surrender to the gods is the only way. Karma yoga, bhakti yoga, japa yoga is the way to attract their attention. The guru keeps the path in view, but he does not walk it for you. So that's an important paragraph in that it's our Saiva Siddhanta mixture of inner and outer, of theism and monism, of the deity and the chakras. It's unusual mix, as you know, we usually talk about monistic theism. This is a variant of that idea. Here we are, we're talking about the chakras and ahimsa and all of this, and then Gurudeva brings in the deities, you know. So normally when someone talks about the chakras, they don't bring in the same paragraph thoughts about the deities. It's all inside. It's all meditation. that Gurudeva sees it as related. So if we want to stabilize ourselves in the Muladhara Chakra, Lord Ganesha's blessing can help us do that. Not Lord Murugan's, not Lord Shiva's. You know, it's, the deities are very distinct. So it's Lord Ganesha's, stabilizes us. If we're trying, you know, if we're stable and doing well and we're up further, we can get Lord Murugan's blessings to get us into the Anahata. Nice place. Peaceful, calm. Nice place to live. But again, it's the deity's blessings that are involved. And then Shiva gets us up into the Ajna. Shiva reaches down from the Ajna Chakra and lifts one up. That's beautifully said. So that's why, you know, Gurudeva says, start with Lord Ganesha and get yourself stable first. And then if that's really going well, then you move on to Lord Murugan in terms of how it influences the chakras. You know, of course, we do Shiva Puja every day, but this is in terms of trying to get the blessings to be stable in the Muladhara and then eventually be stable in the Anahata chakras. So I have more, but I think it's to be continued. Have a wonderful day.